You guys can have a seat. Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing? Happy New Year to everyone here. We welcome you here. I'm Keith. I'm one of the pastors here, if you've never been here before. We just want to welcome you here. It's the end of a year, and we're beginning a new one in a couple days. I hope you guys had a great holiday. I did. I am sick, if you can tell by my voice. I have a two-year-old daughter at home who's made it her life mission to cough in my face. So this is where I'm at right now. She's actually at home resting right now with her mom and her big sister. But we just want to welcome you here this morning. So glad to join you this morning. We are going to be talking about this morning a little bit about how we grow. And I was praying about what to preach to you guys as we ended off this year. And begin a new year. And what is it that this message that would be a good thing to start the new year with? And as I pray and reflected, I was just, man, like what hit me was just, man, like I just want us all to grow in our faith, right? Like, I mean, this is an obvious thing. This is what we do as a church. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm a pastor. This is what I want to see happen. But I want you guys to discover the wonder and the love and the grace and the beauty of Jesus, right? And I want you to know that He is the source of everything. And we've talked about this before, but I really want you guys to experience this and know this, and not just in your heads, but really in the depths of your soul, and how He is more wonderful than everything, and more beautiful, more loving, and more perfect than everything you guys can ever experience, Lord. And if there's anything I'd want you guys to commit to this year, right, this is it, right? I want you guys to experience this and know this, right? That a year from now, that you can say, like, I've grown in my faith. I've grown in my affections for Jesus. I've grown in my holiness. I've grown in my love for my brothers and sisters, right? And I pray that as I'll be able to say everything that I need to say today, and then allow the Holy Spirit to fill in the blanks in your lives. And so this morning, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be walking through a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter is pretty much at the near the end of his life at this point. It's believed that he wrote this book, 2 Peter, shortly before he passed away. And he's writing to a particular church community, and he's saying, this is what I want you guys to remember of my teaching. If there's anything I want to lay down before you, if there's a legacy that I want to leave to you, this is what I want to leave with you. And so it's kind of like his farewell sermon that he's giving to this church that he's writing to. But what is Peter saying? What is Peter trying to say here? What does he want his church that he's writing to remember about his teaching? It's this, that the basis for Christian living, how we live, how we grow, how we behave, it's all of it, the basis for all of this is in what God in Christ has done for us. And so this is what we're going to be talking through a little bit this morning. But why even talk about this at all, right? Because for a lot of us, we want to grow in our faith. We want to grow in Jesus. We want to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. We want to grow in our relationship with Jesus. But for a lot of us, maybe we don't feel like we're growing, or we don't know what it's like to actually grow, right? Like, we've been Christians for a long time, but we actually don't feel like we've seen a lot of growth in our lives since we've become Christians. It doesn't seem like it. And so what Peter is giving us today, he gives us a kind of a standard or a measuring stick for how we know if we're growing or not. And so we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11 together. I'm going to be reading it from the English Standard Version. And if you could stand with me as I read God's Word together. If you have your Bibles or devices with you, please turn to that. It's going to be shown up on the screen. But if you have a physical Bible or a device, it'd be great if you guys can keep that on as we talk through this passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, for these words, Lord, that are true even today. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we look through this passage, Lord, I pray, Lord, as that the Holy Spirit, you just come into our hearts this morning, that you would allow us to actually hear and listen to what you have to say to us, God. And I pray that I would not get in the way of that happening. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would just discover more of you, Jesus, and that we would just fall down in worship because you are so awesome and beautiful and wonderful and lovely. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified here in this place. Your will be done here. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. 2 Peter it's an interesting kind of book. It's a letter, but we're not really sure who it's written to. Commentators, they tend to believe that it's written to churches in Asia Minor, or modern-day Turkey, much like a lot of Paul's writings were. It's written by Peter the Apostle, or a lot of scholars suggest it's written by someone who is close to Peter, who's writing in the name of Peter the Apostle. Now, the situation that's happening in this letter was that there are people in this church community who had converted from paganism and were starting to challenge like traditional Christian beliefs and behavior. And how they were doing this is one of the ways they were doing this where they were challenging, they were really growing impatient with this whole idea of the second coming of Jesus, right? They're saying like it hasn't happened yet, so it might not actually happen, right? So even back then, right, just like maybe 10, 20 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, these guys had some doubts and some questionings as to whether Jesus would return, right? So imagine this for a second. 2,000 years later, we just celebrated Christmas, right, the birth of Jesus. 2,000 years later, and he still hasn't returned, right? What's up with that? Right, and so if they're doubting back then, just a couple decades after waiting for Jesus to come back, like what about now? Like for sure now, we should have even more reason to doubt, as many of us do doubt. Many of us do question. So what does 2 Peter tell us we should do? What does it say? How do we combat doubt here? What Peter's saying is you grow. You grow, you keep growing. But he says you got to work to grow, right? He says you got to strive for it. He says you got to be diligent to make your calling and election sure. And so the question I want to ask you guys this morning is, what is Christian growth? How do we grow? Like, I'm going to talk about three things this morning. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the heart of Christian growth. Second thing is the process of Christian growth. And third thing is the necessity of Christian growth. So heart of Christian growth, the process of Christian growth, and the necessity of Christian growth, right? So the first thing we're going to talk about, the heart of Christian growth. First of all, the foundation of our growth is this. It says this. It says in verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, if we want to grow, if we want to be, if we want to grow and flourish in our Christian faith, it has to be rooted in and dependent on God's grace, right? Because first, it's his power, it's his work, it's his power, it's his strength, and it's by his grace that's in us that allows us to know things that pertain to life and godliness. A lot of times when we talk about Christian growth, though, right, we talk about in terms of what is the church doing to help me grow, right? What are my mentors doing to help me grow? What are my pastors? What are my Sunday school teachers, group leaders, my fellowship counselors? What are they helping me to do to help me grow in my faith? What are they doing? And so oftentimes what happens is that we feel like when we feel like we're not growing, we tend to look outside of us. We look at external factors. We say, well, I'm not growing because my church isn't meeting my needs, right? I'm not feeling community in church. The teaching's bad, whatever. The fellowship, the systems aren't great. I don't feel fed. I don't feel like I'm learning anything new. And it's true that the church does have a lot of responsibility to build a community in which we can discover Jesus and learn about the scriptures. But this is not the heart of growth. This is not the heart of growth. We don't grow because of the church. We grow with the church, right? We don't grow just by improving our programs or our preaching or our teaching. We don't grow just by improving our worship band or our Bible studies or our fellowship programs. I mean, those things help us, but they can only take us so far, right? The church can't make you experience Jesus because you have to seek him for yourself. And so what 2 Peter tells us is that the heart of our growth as Christians is Jesus. It has to be Jesus. It's Jesus' divine power that's granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's by Jesus in his life, death, resurrection, that God calls us to be Christians, right? He's given us everything that we need to live and to lead a godly life. And so if Jesus is not at the heart of your life, you can't really expect to grow. Simple as that. If you haven't experienced forgiveness of sin in your life and this change in your spirit because of what God did through Jesus to save you, you can't really experience this kind of spiritual growth. It's only as we come to know his power that he has granted to us that we're able to grow. If you've actually never repented of your sin, if you've never actually actively said, I've been walking this way my whole life. I want to turn and walk towards Jesus now. If you've never actually done this in your life, and not just with your words, but with your actions and your heart and your behavior and your entire being, it's going to be pretty hard for you to grow. You can't expect to grow if you've never done this. So if you say you're a Christian, you aren't connected to Jesus and his divine nature, you've never actually said, I receive your salvation, I accept what you did on the cross for me, that you are my only hope between me and God, right? And then on top of that, you say, Jesus, you are my king, I'm going to live for you, I'm going to submit myself to you, you're my Lord. And if you haven't said this, if you aren't saying this now, today, you can never expect to grow. This is the very essence of the gospel. This is what the gospel is all about. You respond to his call on your life by saying both, Jesus, you're my Savior, and you also say, you are my Lord and my King. And I want to live for you forever. You say both, I accept your gift, and you say, my life is yours. Have you really done this in your life? When don't take it for granted just because you've gone to your church your whole life that you're saved. Man, until you can honestly say that God has connected with your heart, your spirit in this way, you'll never grow in faith the way you think you ought to be growing. All the best churches, all the best programs can only take you so far. If you really want to grow in your faith, if you really want to experience true growth, it's only by God's grace and there's divine power in you that will help you flourish in this way. So that's the heart of Christian growth. Heart of Christian growth. Next thing, the process of Christian growth. Now that we know what the heart of Christian growth is, verse 5 tells us, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. I'm paraphrasing here, but when it says, for this very reason, 2 Peter is saying that it's precisely the divine nature, divine power that's in you that we are able to grow, right? We were saying this earlier. And so as Christians, we should try to please God, not in order to get into his good books, but because we are already in his good books, right? We've received this divine nature if you're a Christian. Because God, we want to please God because Jesus has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's like this, right? Say you like a girl. Say you like a girl, or if you're a girl, you like a guy, right? You start every time you know that you're going to be together, you're going to see what some other, you're in a group situation, whatever. Because you're going to start dressing up better, right? Maybe you put on cologne. And then as you get to know her a little bit, you might try to buy her nice things, thoughtful gifts, cute gifts, right? Things that will maybe like please the girl and make her happy. And when you finally get the girl, you don't stop doing these nice things just because you're going steady now, right? You do even more nice things. You do even more thoughtful things, not because you're trying to be with the girl, but because you're already with her, right? You want to do nice things because you want to. You want to be a better person because you want to be better for her. Just because you're together doesn't mean you stop pursuing her heart. Matter of fact, it's because you're actually together that actually frees you up to pursue her heart even more. So if you have received the grace of Christ, Jesus has given you everything we need to be godly, yet we still need to pursue him. We still need to pursue these things. These are things we ought to be striving for. These are things that we ought to be growing in our lives. It's made possible because of God's divine power in us that's released us from and freed us from our sinful nature. And we can grow because God's divine nature has come into our lives. He's given it to us. And so if you've received the divine nature, the divine power of Jesus in your lives, if you've experienced him releasing you from the power of sin, right, it's got to change how you live. It's got to. There are these ethical consequences for you becoming a Christian. Verse 8 tells us, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or untruthful, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if these qualities, if you possess these things, if you're increasing in these qualities, in your virtue, in your knowledge, in your self-control, in your love, you're on the right track. This is the standard that Peter is giving us here. And we're not going to go through all the qualities one by one here individually, but let's take knowledge for example. Many of you guys have a lot of questions about Christianity, right? Some of us have doubts about some of the things that we've been taught in Sunday school or in Awana, or things that we're taught up from the pulpit up here, right? Some of the things that Scripture is telling us as we're reading this, I'm like, man, the question is, what is this about? And know this, right? The doubts that you have right now, they could be part of a process of you growing in faith, in grace, in faith. In a lot of ways, like a lot of these times, you have these questions, and it's a good thing to question what we understand about faith, because it shows us that you're actually engaging with your faith. You're actually reflecting on it. You're thinking about it, right? These can be good things. But oftentimes when we doubt, when we question, when we wrestle, when we grapple with the things of the Bible, when we think about Jesus or Christianity and our faith, we come out at the end of it strengthened and maybe even renewed, right? After my first year of seminary, I remember the specific moment when I was like just sitting on the deck of my house. I took all these classes, and one of the things that one of my theology professor, one of his goals in first year theology class is he wants to shatter all paradigms of his students, right? And so in other words, he basically wants to take all the things that you thought you believed and kind of break them down, right? And so this was me. I was like a shell of a Christian at this point. I was sitting on my deck, and I just realized, like, I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing about my faith. All I knew was that Jesus loves me, and then I love him, right? That was the only thing that I knew. Everything I knew and I thought I understood about my faith was stripped down to nothing. I was like, I don't know anything more. I don't know anything anymore. I grew up in a Christian home, right? I was like a lot of you. I went through the Sunday school system. I grew up going to church. But man, at that point, I had nothing left. But I kept reading and I kept studying. And eventually over time, I slowly rebuilt piece by piece, layer upon layer, what I understood about Jesus and what I understood about faith. But sometimes, like, I feel like nowadays, we like to ask questions about our faith just because we like to question. We question our faith just for the sake of questioning our faith. Maybe we're not actually all that interested in hearing an answer as we are about asking the question. Or maybe we're only interested in answers that sound good to us rather than actually hearing truth. It's almost as though doubt in itself is like a virtue. I mean, it's one thing to have questions, but it's another thing to actually actively pursue and seek out knowledge of Jesus. But here's the other thing. Where is it that you go when you do have questions? Where do you turn to when you do have doubts? Do you read? Like, do you study God's word? Do you talk to people who are more knowledgeable about Scripture? Are you praying or asking for more knowledge from the Holy Spirit to illuminate or shine the light on the things that he wants you to know when you're reading Scripture? Do you go to people who maybe thought about these things longer than you have? In other words, do you only read things or go to things that feed your doubt, or do you go to things that point you to Jesus? The point I'm trying to get at is this. Are you growing in your knowledge? Are you actively seeking and pursuing knowledge of Jesus? Or do you just kind of let it come to you, right? You come to Sunday to worship and you hear me talk. You go to Sunday school and you see, you try to see what the teacher has to say. And hopefully maybe the teacher or me will have something to say that might stick with you. But you're not quite sure. You'll be like, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I doubt it, but we'll see what happens. Are you growing in virtue? Like, are you longing to be more pure, to have more freedom from the sins you struggle with? Are you growing in your self-control? Are you becoming more loving? Are you loving God more and more, right? It's a process. It's gradual. It doesn't happen right away for all of us. We grow into this. This is why Paul describes some Christians as babies and some as mature, right? There's this process you go from baby to maturity that has to happen for every one of us here. There are seasons in our lives when we feel like we're on fire for Jesus. We love Jesus. There's nothing we think about other than Jesus. And there's other times we feel like we're stuck in a rut. We feel like we're in this wilderness, we're in a desert place, and Jesus couldn't be farther away from us. But this is the journey we're on, guys. This is this life journey we're on. Sometimes we go through these light, dry spells. We go through times when we feel like he's not here. Like, why don't I feel like I used to feel like about God? Why does he seem so far away at this time? But the answer is, you got to know that he wants you to get closer. He wants you to really trust and lean on him. And actually, whether you know it or not, maybe you weren't doing that. You're relying on your own wisdom. You're trusting in your own experience, your own understanding. But suddenly you get to a place where that suddenly dries up and you don't know what to do. You've never experienced this before. You don't understand it. Sometimes God will put you through these times so that you have to believe what he says. So that you'll have to lean on him. Sometimes you get a point where you realize that you can't get out of whatever situation you're in without his grace, no matter how much you try. You're asking, why, God, why? What's God doing? He's saying, I want you to grow up. I'm trying to grow you. I don't want you to be babies anymore. And as you mature and as you grow, you, whatever you situation you find yourself where God is trying to refine you, instead of asking, like, why am I going through this, God? Instead of asking that, what you're asking instead, okay, you're saying, okay, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want to show me? When you exercise or work out, in order for you to strengthen your body, it's got to hurt a little bit, right? You got to feel the burn. When I'm cycling, I haven't done much cycling this year, but I had this heart rate monitor that tells me which heart rate zone I should be training in, right? And so in order for me to actually build my endurance and my cardio, my strength in the long run, I have to ride in like a certain zone. But if I'm riding for a while in that zone, it hurts. It burns. But sometimes in order for long-term strength to happen, you have to go through some pressure in the short term. When you start working out, right? When you're starting off, the hurt you feel, it's like, why am I putting myself through this pain? But you power through that, right? You power through that because you know what's happening at the end of it, because you know you're going to get stronger. And so for many of us, it's like, this isn't worth it. Maybe we'll give up. But if you stick with it, as you get going, as you power through this, right? After a while, you feel yourself getting stronger. You feel yourself making gains, right? You realize it's just part of the process. So listen, are you growing? Are you growing? Remember, there's so many ways you can fake your way through life. You could put on a front and pretend that everything's okay on the outside, but on the inside, you're hurting, you're broken, and everything's falling to pieces. Even in the church, you can fake being a Christian by serving more, by attending more functions, more Bible studies, by coming to church more regularly. You can fake it. Sometimes we judge mistakenly how well a person's faith is doing only by this criteria. Man, if they show up to church regularly, they're doing pretty good. If they're teaching Sunday school, they're doing pretty good spiritually. And sometimes we think that the busier a person is at church, the stronger their faith is, right? It's so easy to fake that. But are you becoming more loving? Are you growing in your self-control? Do you feel like you're more godly and more knowledgeable than you were a year ago, 2 years ago? And right here is the biggest test. It says you supplement yourself, you supplement your godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. Do you feel your affections for your brothers and sisters are growing? And is it coming out in these tangible ways? Like, do you love one another here more and more than you did a year ago? I mean, this is the ultimate test right here. I mean, there's a reason why Peter puts this at the end of this list, right? He's trying to make a point. This is the ultimate test. You can't fake love. You can't fake brotherly affection, right? All of these other qualities, they point to all of this. This is why it's at the end of this list. This is the ultimate criteria that Christians ought to be using. Do you love? Are your affections for your brothers and sisters growing? That's how we could tell someone ultimately is growing or not. If we have these things and we're adding to it, this is how we know we're on the right track. Next thing, the necessity of Christian growth. One of my biggest fears is that in this room, there are those of us who say we're Christians, but we're not actually saved. That you come taking it for granted that just because you're here and you've been coming here for years, that you've got a real and living faith and that Jesus has saved you, that you're okay just because you showed up. If our life has collided with the grace of God at some point in your lives, it has to show up in you being changed and transformed and you growing your faith, especially in the area of love and brotherly affection. And it has to. You have to be growing in these areas somehow. Like, it's not optional for you to have to grow in these things. You have to be growing in them. right? It's called sanctification, right? If first you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit regenerates or converts you, right? You repent, and then you and the Holy Spirit work together to make you more and more holy, right? You make space in your life for the Holy Spirit to work, and the Holy Spirit works in your life by shining a light on the things and the dark places in your soul, giving you strength to change, shining a light on Jesus in the process, who died for you and set you free from these things. And this combined work of you and the Holy Spirit together to help you grow into holiness, this lifelong process, this is called sanctification. It says right here, if you have these qualities and they're growing, it'll keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if you don't have them, it says you'll be nearsighted and blind. It says you've forgotten that you've been forgiven of your past sins. Growing in grace is necessary. It's required. It's not optional. Look, Jesus has given us everything we need to be godly, but we still need to pursue it. We still need to pursue Him. Amen. If we've been called by the grace of God, it's going to have consequences in your lives, and they're going to be played out in your attitudes and behaviors and how we live and act and think. Are you growing in your faith? And if you're not, what's keeping you from growing? Maybe it's because you've never actually experienced the grace of God in your life before. Maybe you've actually never responded to the call of God on your life, and you've never said, I want to have you in my life. I want you to help me escape from my sinful heart. I want you to change me. I want you to save me. I want you to transform my life. I want to give myself to you just like you gave yourself to me. I want you to be my Lord and King. Have you ever said that? Are you growing in these qualities? Are you seeking these out? And Peter says, if you're seeking these out, you'll never fall. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just lift up ourselves to you, God. I pray, Lord, as we close off this year and begin a new year in a couple days, I pray that this would be the year that we just lay down our lives at your feet and say, I want you to be my Lord and King. I want to partake more fully in your divine power, God. I want you to change me. I want to experience more freedom from my sin. I want to experience more freedom from my arrogance and my pride. I want to experience more freedom from these things that are tying me down and keeping me from experiencing more of you. I want to love more. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that this would be us this year. That at the same time next year, as we look back, we can honestly say that we are growing in these areas, in these qualities. And that we are making our election and our calling sure. But Lord, I pray for my friends here. I pray, Lord, that if there's anything that's holding us back, God, would you shine a light on it by the Holy Spirit? Would you reveal it to our hearts? And that in revealing it to us, that we get on our hands and our knees and lay these things down at your feet, God, and do business with you. Because we want to fully live. We don't want to just be stuck in a rut. We don't want to be stuck in this wilderness any longer, in this dry place. We want to be filled with joy and hope and freedom because of Jesus, what you've done for us in our cross. So Lord, help us grow. Help us to know what it is like to know you, not just in our heads, but with our beings and the very depths of our souls. Amen.
I want to invite the prayer teams to the front. Just want to invite you to, if anything struck a chord with you, if this is a time when you're like, God, I just want to learn how to love. I want to learn how to love more. Please teach me how to love. Just want you to, in your seats, to just say a prayer in your heart. And if you want someone else to pray with you, this is a great time to pray with the prayer team as well.
Didn't want heaven without
Sing this next song. Just want us to reflect on what we're building our lives on. Whether we're building our lives on the things that we do or whether we're building our lives on God. His name is Jesus and His name is powerful. Just want you to take this time to reflect on what that is you're building your life on. And if it is something else, aside from Jesus' name, I just want you to confess that in your heart. Maybe pray with the prayer team who's available for you too.
Song we could ever sing.
the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy. Worthy of every song. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Build my life. Trust in you alone, and now. Let's sing that one last time. Holy, there is no one like you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper.
we're going to continue this time of worship with a time of offering, so please pray with me. God, truly we pray that you will open our eyes in wonder, that we will gaze at who you are and we will be in awe of you, that we'll see you and we will want more of you, that we won't be satisfied with what we just have, that we won't settle into a plateau, but we will crave you more. We will desire you more. So, Lord, stir up a fire in our hearts for your beauty. May that be the thing that drives us into the virtues that 2 Peter talks about. God, stir that passion in our heart. Stir up the wonder in our heart for you and for what Jesus has done for us. And we praise you so much for your grace. We don't have to rely on our sinful selves, on our powerless selves. But by your grace, you have given us your power, that you yourself are transforming us into the same glorious image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Spirit. Thank you for giving us your divine nature. I pray for all this in your holy name. Amen. You can be seated. So hello, my name is Kim. I'm the youth pastor here. We welcome you if you're visiting here with us. We welcome you if you're on holiday and you're visiting with us. I hope Vancouver's pretty awesome. I'm originally from Saskatchewan, so moving to Vancouver to BC is pretty amazing. I went from like minus 40 degree weather with wind chill to like plus 4 degrees in the middle of December. That's pretty sick for me. So we have some announcements to go over. The Faith Pledge, the Annex Rebuild Faith Pledge, this is, I believe, our last week of collecting pledges, and we're almost there, which is amazing. Every time when it comes to finances, I'm always blown by BAC. It's pretty crazy that I think it was only like a month and a half or so. It was just a month, and we already collected pledges of $1 million. So you have 2 years to fulfill these pledges. It's not like we collected all this money now. We're expecting thousands of dollars from you now. You have 2 years for this. So we're still short by $208,000. You still have time to give your pledge forms. The prayer ministry and the usher ministry is still looking for people. Again, I cannot emphasize how important the prayer ministry and usher ministry is. The usher ministry is like the welcoming team. They're the ones who set the tone of hospitality, and our God is a God of hospitality. And prayer ministry is the foundation. Something that I say is, I'm part of the prayer team, and the maximum amount of people we probably can pray for each pairing is like 2 people. And so I would say probably maybe 5 people get prayed for each week. And then for myself, I try to commit to praying for someone individually after. And so I'm just like maybe 6 people get prayed for each Sunday. And I'm just thinking, what would happen if we become a church of prayer? What would happen if we as individuals commit and challenge ourselves to not leave this church building until we've prayed for someone? And I wonder how powerful would that be to see other brothers and sisters in Christ standing in the foyer praying for each other? Like, how many more people can get prayed? How much of a culture can change? How much are we allowing God to do his work in here with us? And so I just want to challenge you to join the prayer ministry. I challenge you to engage in prayer ministry on a grassroots level with yourself. I challenge you, like, try like not leaving a church building every single Sunday until you've prayed for someone and just went up to someone and be like, hey, like, I really want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? There's no Sunday school this week, FYI. But I think that's it. Please stand with me to receive the benediction. Okay, let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you his amazing and everlasting peace. Amen.
Amen.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. There's no refreshments today.
One way.